When Christians die, do we remain asleep until the return of Jesus, or do we go to heaven to be with him immediately? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. You can call us right now with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. If you want to email us, here's the email address. It's questions@corechristianity.com. First up today, we have a good news story to share with you. Giuseppe Patermo is 96 years old, and he has faced many tests in life: childhood poverty, war, and most recently, the coronavirus pandemic. Now, he is Italy's oldest university graduate. This week, the former railway worker stepped forward to receive his diploma and the traditional laurel wreath awarded to Italian students when they graduate. He was applauded by his family, his teachers, and his fellow students. Giuseppe was already in his 90s when he enrolled for a degree in history and philosophy at the University of Palermo. He grew up loving books, but he never had the chance to study because of his work. Last week, he graduated first in his class with top honors, receiving congratulations from the university's chancellor. Isn't that a cool story?
Yeah, that is awesome. It's never too late. And, no. You know, it's one of those things that's like, we're always learning, and we should always have that attitude of, there's still more for me to learn. I think about it just in terms of studying the scriptures. You know, God forbid that we should ever get to a place where we think, I've arrived, I already know it all. No, the Spirit is continually working in our lives as Christians, giving us a deeper understanding of God's word, and we should be humble and say, hey, we want to be lifelong learners.
Amen. And you know, there's this whole idea of retirement, which is really a more recent invention in our culture. The fact is, here's Giuseppe at 96 going back to college and getting his degree. That is so cool. Well, let's get to our first question of the day. Laya posted this on our Instagram account, and she says, can a Christian get their faith back after losing it?
You know, I was just watching not too long ago the old Disney Peter Pan cartoon movie with my kids. And, you know, there's that scene, Bill, I don't know if you remember it, where Peter Pan loses his shadow early on in the movie, and he's looking for his shadow, and he's trying to find, it's just sort of a silly thing, right? Like, he's lost his shadow, and he's trying to find his shadow. I mean, the shadow is inseparable from you. It's just there. You can't lose your shadow. And I wonder if, when we think about faith, if there's a little bit of confusion. You know, faith is not something that we sort of have and then lose and then get again, or that we got to go looking for. It's a gift given to us by the Lord. Faith is a gift. I mean, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And one of the things that Paul is referring to there is faith. You see this throughout the scriptures. So faith is not something that we conjure up in ourselves, nor is it something that we discover, like I sort of stumble upon it. It's something that God creates in us, and here's how he creates it in us: through the word of the gospel, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word, the scriptures, create faith in our hearts by the power of the Spirit. And that's precisely what the Apostle Paul says in another passage in Romans chapter 10. Listen to what he said beginning in verse 14. He's talking about missionaries being sent out to preach the gospel. He says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? In other words, how are people going to call on Jesus if they haven't believed in him? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Where does faith come from, Leah? It comes from through the word of Jesus Christ. And so I think that when the word and spirit together create faith in our hearts, that's not something that we can lose. Now, our faith can be hindered challenged. We can have doubts, even as genuine believers. And I think that's really important too, because there are some people who, you know, they go through a season of questioning or doubts and they think, well, maybe I just don't have my faith anymore, or something like that. But the reality is, I believe, according to the scriptures, that the fire of faith always burns within those who are truly born again. Now, it could at times feel like it's been extinguished, like it's a little coal, you know, burning at the bottom of a pile of ash. But the reality is, the faith that God gives us, He doesn't ever take away from us. And while there are times of difficulty, times of questioning, I believe that God continues to nourish and strengthen our faith. How? By that same word that created the faith, and through these ordinances that Jesus gave to the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. This is, by the way, one of the reasons why God gave us these things. They're gifts that help to nourish and strengthen our faith. Every time I take the Lord's Supper, every time I take communion, every time you take communion, it should be a reminder of God's love and goodwill toward you, of the objective promise of the gospel, the forgiveness of all of your sins through the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ for you to lay hold of, for you to sink your teeth into, to nourish and strengthen your faith. And so look, if Leah, you're wondering, I feel like I've lost my faith, how can I get it back? Well, one, I mean, even the fact that you're asking this question in my mind makes me think, it sounds to me like there's still this element of faith. And sometimes it might feel like we don't have very much faith, but here's what you need to do. Dig into the scriptures. Open up God's word. Make sure you're in a good church where that word is being preached, because that's how faith is created and nourished and strengthened in our lives. We can't expect to have a strong faith if we're not hearing God's word and a part of the community of faith that Jesus has created. And so I want to encourage you to dig into the scriptures, make sure you're in a good church, and let God continue to nourish and build up your faith through His people. Thank you for your question.
This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. And if you have a question for us, feel free to call at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. You can also post your question on our Facebook account or Instagram account. And Miko posted this on Facebook. Truthfulness is an important matter. No one wants to believe in something that's not true. How can we defend and proclaim the truthfulness of our Christian faith and the Bible?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that there are some particular challenges that we face, especially in pluralistic societies, societies that have embraced religious pluralism in particular. And what I mean by that is what you often hear today, especially in places like the United States, right? Like, all truth is relative, or religious truth at least is relative. You have your beliefs, I have my beliefs. And what you believe is great for you, what I believe is great for me. I mean, you might think that Jesus is a great way to God and spirituality. For me, you know, it really works. What helps me to be a better person is Buddhism, or maybe Islam, or maybe the sort of I'm spiritual but not religious kind of a thing that you're seeing all over the place. The rise of the nuns, there's been a lot of writing on this. The nuns, not nuns as in like Roman Catholic nuns, but the nuns, those people who don't identify with any particular organized religion, but they're still very religious. You know, they have these sort of spiritual beliefs about the world and karma and any number of other things. They just don't want to identify with the church or with a institutionalized, they might say, religious system. Well, the problem is, so often we treat truth, especially when it comes to spiritual things, like we treat, you know, picking a certain kind of food. You know, I really like pizza. You really like Mexican food. How dare you tell me that pizza is better than Mexican food? It's a matter of personal preference. What I feel like is what's most true for me. And so, Miko, I think one of the things that we really have to do is help people to understand that the Bible is not, it's not asking to be judged on that basis, if you will. It's not saying, hey, try me out, and if you kind of like me, if you kind of think this is good for you and it helps you to be a better person, then great, this is something you can adopt. No, there's a historical claim. God sent His Son into the world to save sinners. He died and rose again. This is an objective historical claim, and there is no name given under heaven by which people, men and women, must be saved except for the name of Jesus. That's either true or it's false. This is why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people the most to be pitied. It's either true or it's not. If the resurrection isn't true, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. It's not about this helps me to be a better person, or this makes me feel better about myself, or this is a good way for me to cope with the stresses of life. No, not at all. It's here is the one way you can have your sins forgiven. You need Jesus because he's the only one who came and died and rose again for your justification. That's the claim of the Christian faith. And so what we have to really be firm in, I think, Mikko, today, we're focusing on the importance of truthfulness and how we need to believe that which is true. We need to help people to understand that Christianity isn't offering us kind of a coping mechanism with life, a way to make you a better person, to be more moral. No, it's offering us the forgiveness of sins, and we can't get that anywhere else. And it comes through the work of Jesus in history, God's working in history for us. Now, how do we defend that as we proclaim it? I think we do it the same way that the disciples did in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament. We point to the reality of things like the resurrection, and there are some really helpful resources on this. I mean, one of the books I often refer to that's a real simple book that sort of talks a little bit about worldview and evidences for the resurrection is Greg Kokel's book, The Story of Reality. That's a great resource. There are so many, though, wonderful resources, even at our website, corechristianity.com. If you just go there and type in resurrection search, I mean, we have all sorts of pieces that we've put together. There are all sorts of articles that have been written talking about defending the truthfulness of the Christian faith. It's not a matter of preference. It's not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of truth. In the same way that Abraham Lincoln either lived or did not live. I mean, this is a historical claim. That's what we're saying Christianity is. It's Jesus Christ came for us, for our sins, to save us. And so I think that's one of the things we're up against, Mikko, is we try to share the truthfulness of the matter, as you say. And I think that the way that we do that is by sticking to what the Word of God has said and defending what the apostles of our Lord defended, the resurrection of Jesus, and by pointing out why it is that it is true and how it is that we can believe it. So thank you for that question.
Great question, and obviously a challenge for all of us living in the United States and other Western countries with all the pluralism that you mentioned and so many people just having a relativistic view of truth and morality and something that we need to all be praying about and I think studying. So we're prepared to have that answer, as Peter would say. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and we have a great offer to tell you about today.
Yeah, Bill, and we've created this 100-page softcover workbook for the Gospel of John. We designed this Bible study with Sunday school classes, Bible study groups, and even individual students of the Bible in mind. Each weekly lesson includes selected passages from John's Gospel, reflection questions, and explanations of the key lessons every Christian should know about John's Gospel. Here's the bottom line. This study is going to help you gain a deeper understanding of the drama of Scripture, the relevant historic Christian doctrines, and the key themes of John's Gospel. Head over to corechristianity.com/Gospel of John. To get your copy of our new Bible study today.
By the way, one of our longtime supporters received this study, and he was so encouraged by it that he said, "We've got to get this out to more people." And he actually gave us a special gift to do just that. So we are giving this study away as a special gift from all of us here at Core Christianity for free. Just go to get your copy today at corechristianity.com/Gospel of John. And for help getting any of our offers, just give us a call at 833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. Let's get back to another question. This is a call that came in from Grayson in Texas.
My question is, in 1 Corinthians verse 34 and 35, it says, "Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. They want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church." And this verse just really bothered me when I first read it. And I know Paul is talking to the Corinth church, but if you would please clear this up and explain the context of this, I would really appreciate it. Thank you all so much. God bless.
Hey, yeah, really good question. You're right. I mean, really, we have to focus on the context here in order to gain a proper understanding of what the Apostle Paul is getting at. And I think he's referring to, specifically in the context of corporate worship, the authoritative office of proclaiming, preaching the Word of God. I think what Paul is saying is that that office is reserved for men. 1 Timothy 3, Titus chapter 1 refers specifically to this, you know, like the ordained elders called to teach in the church, being the husband of one wife. And so I think Paul, in the context of 1 Corinthians 11 through 14, is speaking specifically about what takes place in the context of corporate worship. Now, it's sort of interesting because there in 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul also talks about women praying and prophesying. And so we're trying to bring all of these things together and sort of harmonize them. I don't think that he's saying, you know, like a woman can't speak at all or say anything in the church. I mean, certainly we pray, we sing together. But I think as far as the authoritative office of the teacher, the pastor is concerned, I think Paul is saying that should be a man. And I think that he refers to this in different places in the New Testament as well. So you're referring to the authoritative function of the ministry of the word. And now that raises other questions as well. And I know that this is one of those things that there are differences of opinion on, and that there are Christians, people who love Jesus, who disagree on this issue. And I think that's okay. I don't think this is one of those issues that determines whether or not you're truly a follower, a believer of Jesus Christ. Maybe, you know, we often talk about core Christianity on this program. We might say that this is not at the core of the Christian faith in the sense of, you know, the cardinal doctrines of the faith that determine whether or not we actually believe in Jesus and are saved. But there is this structure that God has given to his church. And I think that's one of the things that Paul is getting at specifically in 1 Corinthians 14, as he talks about all things being done decently and in order. There are some people, you know, who look at these passages referring to women teaching and so on and so forth, and they'll extend those prohibitions outside of the church. So they'll say things like, well, we think that all women are always supposed to be submitted to all men, or that kind of a thing. Well, that's not, I think, at all what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's referring to something very specific in the context of corporate worship, and in particular, the teaching office within the church.
Grayson, thanks so much for your call. It's always great to hear from you. You've got some excellent questions. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and our website is corechristianity.com. For the radio show, you go to corechristianity.com/radio, and there you can record your question for us if you'd like. There's a little microphone icon on the right-hand side of the page. Just click on that, and you can record your question right there. Linda submitted a question on our website, and she says, when Christians die, do we remain asleep until the glorious return of our Savior Jesus, or do we go to heaven to be with him immediately upon our death? It seems to me like the Bible teaches both.
You know, Linda, this is a really good question. Now I know it's a good question. It's because we get asked it all the time. A lot of people have this question. And of course, in the New Testament, sometimes death is referred to as sleep. Now, I don't think that what that means is that when we die, we're unconscious. You know, it's sort of like when we're sleeping and we're not fully aware, that kind of a thing. I think that the reason the New Testament oftentimes refers to death as sleep for believers in particular is because we know that death is not the end all for us. It isn't the final state for those who are in Christ. In fact, Jesus said in John, he says, the one who believes in me shall not die, but ever lives. And so sleep is sometimes used as this metaphor, picture of death in the New Testament, both by Jesus and by the disciples. But it's very clear to me from other passages of Scripture that when we die, we're in the presence of the Lord immediately. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I think that's a conscious state of existence. We refer to it as the intermediate state. Intermediate because it's referring to that time when we are awaiting the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. So it's, you know, we die, our spirit goes into the presence of the Lord immediately with joy and adoration and worship. Our bodies are in the ground, decaying, and we're waiting that day, that final day, the final judgment, where we're raised incorruptible. You know, a lot of times people think about, you know, I want to believe in Jesus so that I can go to heaven when I die. And they view heaven as the sort of end all, Linda. But the reality is, heaven, just sort of being separated from our bodies, is not the hope of the Christian faith. I mean, one of the reasons Jesus rose again is to give us the hope of the resurrection, that our bodies that are broken down right now and succumb to sickness and weakness and the coronavirus and things like that, one day they're going to be incorruptible, glorified. And it's such a, well, an amazing thing for us to look forward to. And let me just give you one verse, I think, that absolutely confirms that when we die, we're in the presence of Jesus with joy, even as we await the resurrection of the body. It's what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, as he talked about his death that seemed for him to be right around the corner. He says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live on in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." You have the hope, not only in the resurrection of the dead, right? And that's our ultimate future hope, the restoration of our bodies, but we also have the hope that upon the moment that we die, we will be in the presence of our Lord Jesus with joy and love and perfect peace.
Thank you for that, Adriel. What a great thing to look forward to. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. We have time for one last question. This is an email we received from Virginia. She says, "As I was reading the book of Mark, I noticed that it says chapter 16, verses 9 through 20 is not included in some of the earliest manuscripts. What do you think of this section? Is this an important piece of scripture that we must read? Thank you."
Yeah, and this is another thing. There are you know, differences of opinion on. So yeah, the earliest manuscripts that we have of Mark's gospel do not include the longer ending of Mark, or verses 9 through 20. And so there are people who say, well, this is probably added later. Maybe the original ending got lost, or maybe, you know, there was this abrupt ending and later on there were scribes or people in the church who felt like, well, we really need to massage this out a little bit so that it has a better ending. Because, you know, if you just end in verse 8, Mark chapter 16, verse 8, it says, "And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." And so you end on that note of fear. And that's, you know, concerning for some people. They think, well, why would Mark end his gospel in that way? Look, when it comes to the end of Mark, there's nothing there in that longer section, I think, that calls into question any core Christian doctrine at all. So there's no contradiction here. Actually, when you read the longer section of Mark, I mean, all of the stuff that you have there is sort of preparing you for what you're going to see in the book of Acts over and over again. So it's almost like sort of setting you up for the book of Acts, I think. And personally, I don't treat the ending of Mark as sort of inspired canonical portion of scripture, but there is, you know, differences with regard to the manuscript evidence. I think what we can rest in is the fact that there is so much manuscript evidence when it comes to the New Testament that we can be confident about what we do know about the New Testament. God really has preserved his word for us. And so even if this longer portion of Mark was not in the original manuscripts or the earliest manuscripts that we have of Mark's gospel, we know that there really is no core doctrine that's called into question, that really everything that it talks about there is corroborated in other parts of the New Testament. Let me just close with this. The beautiful thing about this is you can trust God's word. God has preserved his word for you. I mean, we spoke earlier about the importance of faith and where to get faith. It comes from God's word. Trust God, open his word, study it. And what a beautiful thing. We can give thanks to the Lord for how he has preserved his word for us.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar, or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.